Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast, IDP edition. I'm your host, John Macri, Fantasy Analyst here at PFF, and we are officially 1 week away from the NFL Draft. I mean, really almost exactly at the time of recording this episode. But as you know, we've been out here previewing all of the IDP positions. We've done linebacker, we've done edge, we've done defensive back. You can check all those out now. But today we wrap it up with a few more names across all positions to either spend some more time on or some names that we haven't covered yet. We're talking sleepers and my guys for this year's rookie IDP class. And a treat for you all as our guy, Mike Woolert, is in the house to help break it all down. So let's get it. All right. Like I said, at the top, we have a combination of my guys and sleepers for this IDP rookie class. And joining me to talk rookies from the IDPshow.com, the one and only Green Dot King, Mr. Mike Woolert. Mike, finally, we get to do a show together where we're only talking rookies. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I love that you kept your intro. You kept the 8-bit intro intact. I love that intro. Yes. But it's that time of year with rookies, and like you said, week away, and you know we're getting punched in the face with NFL now. It's full bore for a couple of months.
Oh yeah, man. It's prospect season where rookie talk is in full swing. Like if you go on football Twitter, it is all rookie talk at this point.
Shiny new toys, man.
That's it. We all love them. We get very excited for them. It's a time of the year that is very optimistic, not just for fantasy purposes, but for like NFL purposes too, right? Like every team, you know, improves after the draft, right? But they're all adding pieces, all adding these hopeful, yep, shiny new toys, like you said. So it's very exciting. I always love to talk rookies, and I'm very excited to have you on here to talk these rookies with me. We're gonna get into it here, but like I said, we're covering my guys and sleepers for this IDP rookie class. And you know, we're not necessarily talking like who we have as our number one guy at each position. Yep. But we're talking some guys that we just think, you know, are either consensus ahead that we're higher on, or sleepers that we kind of like that people aren't talking about. So that's kind of the focus around today. But just to recap for those guys, because we did do like rankings and stuff on those preview episodes. For me, my number one guys at each position. So at linebacker, it's Junior Colson out of Michigan. For the edge position, it is Latu Latu out of UCLA. And at defensive back, that's safety and corner, it is Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. So, Mike, who were your number ones at those positions? Just so people know where you're at before we get into some off-radar type guys that people may not have heard about.
So, defensive line and edge, I had Dallas Turner. At defensive back, I had Jaden Hicks.
Nice.
And my linebackers haven't been released. Linebackers will be released, I think, on Monday. But spoiler, I'll have Peyton Wilson as my number one.
Nice. Yeah, nice. That's a good list, man. I love Jaden Hicks. I'm glad that we're also number one on him. And Peyton Wilson, I think I had a two. Turner, I got a three. Like these are all like the top guys, right? So this is just to kind of get an idea of where we're at with them, and not necessarily, there's no such thing as a 100% consensus across the board. So it's always good to get some other people's rankings and ideas in there as well. So there's where Mike's at with his number ones, and then you'll find out kind of where he's at with some of his other guys here and some sleepers as well. We'll get into that. But first, I want to let you all know to check out the PFF Mock Draft Simulator. If you haven't already, it's where you can take control and draft for your favorite team or draft for the entire league, whatever you want. And newly added to the Mock Draft Simulator is that you can now earn awards to your profile for achieving certain accomplishments within the Mock Draft Simulator. As someone like me who spends more time than I care to admit trying to earn trophies on my PlayStation Network account, this feels like a nice extension of that to kind of fuel my addiction for profile prizes. So if you're like me and enjoy the satisfying pop of an achievement hitting while also having fun, then you'll enjoy the mock draft experience even more now. So use the promo code 30MDS right now on PFF.com to get 30% off annual subscriptions. And that includes all of our NFL draft content and, of course, access to the best mock draft simulator in the league here at PFF. So check it out now. Go have yourself some fun. Again, that is promo code 30MDS.
How about submitting an application to as a general manager if you like nail a draft? Submit your we'll just go ahead and submit an application to be a general manager of your favorite team.
Yeah, just get the achievement for whatever our max amount of drafts is, and just keep all the screenshots, and whichever one turns out to be the best one, you submit that as an application, and then you never know, right? All right, let's get into the my guys. So again, these are guys that we just seem to like more than consensus, or guys that we're kind of maybe banging the table for to get strong draft capital. We got three my guys each, and then we also got three sleepers each, but we'll start with the my guys, Mike, and we got to start at the linebacker position because everybody loves talking linebackers. Who is your first linebacker that you are claiming as a my guy here?
Everybody's linebacker thirsty. It's like the running back position. When one linebacker goes down, everybody goes to run for the next linebacker, running back. If anybody knew who hasn't listened to my latest on the IDP show where we were talking linebackers, I did mention that if I was going to leave a draft, who am I leaving a draft with? Who I not want to leave a draft with? So number one, probably my guy is Cedric Gray from North Carolina, 3-year starter with the Tar Heels. Had Peyton Wilson not been a part of this class, I probably would have had him as my LB1. From things that I've looked at, he has a nice wide tackle radius, fluid in his movement, kind of has that dip like an edge rusher. Had a 21% pressure rate and 5 sacks as an off-ball linebacker. So menace at the line of scrimmage, 23 tackles for loss over the last 2 seasons. He's quick. Has the speed that I think a lot of the NFL defensive coordinators are going to like. They're going to like his flexibility. He can really stop on a dime, change direction. Plus range. He's really good in zone. I think he's one of those guys that, he's got elite production in a pretty good conference. And that's what I like to see from some of these guys coming out, coming out of school. You want to see good production, elite production in a really good conference. So has a really good second and third effort. Couple of issues I had, some of his missed tackles. He's had double digit missed tackle rate in 3 seasons. So sometimes he can come in too high. Sometimes he's a little bit late, a little bit more reactive than proactive, but I think he has the size and athleticism to be a 3-down guy in the NFL, whether it's this year, depending on the landing spot. But I think he can get into that 3-down role. If it's not midpoint, he'll be in there, I think, at some point.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I went back and forth on Cedric Gray a little bit. Like, we talked about him on the linebacker preview episode with Kyle, and I landed at LB5 for him. So there were definitely things, like you mentioned, the missed tackles. 57 missed tackles over the past 3 years is a lot, right? It's third most in this class, but there was a lot to like about him as well. Like, he's an exciting player. I'm with you that there is definitely IDP potential for him. A little bit of inconsistencies in his game. We kind of talked about that in the episode, the preview episode as well. But I didn't mind him. Like, he's great at kind of reacting to plays and making tackles at a high rate. And there's also, the plays where, he reads the play wrong and puts himself out of position. Like, we talked about that. But during his career, like, Gray, he posted the best first contact rate in this entire class for the linebacker position at 12.2%. That helped him deliver a top 5 career tackle efficiency for this class as well, 14.9%. But again,
right around the 15%. Yeah. I like his coverage grade. I mean, the coverage grade is his ability in coverage is going to keep him on the field. And with more teams going to more zone coverage, I think with that ability, that's going to keep him on the field.
Yeah. And then that's the thing, right? Like, there's definitely some stuff to work with for him, like as a potential starter in the NFL. So for that reason, like, I did kind of like him, and that's why he's in my top 5 for this year's class. So I like it, Mike. I like the call. I think Cedric Gray is one of those guys that is going to be exciting for IDP, especially with a nice landing spot. And we know that landing spots and draft capital aren't necessarily kind for IDP. We've learned that over the past few years with these rookie drafts, but you know, you never know. It could work out. There's lots of guys that it does work out for. So we're hoping for Cedric Gray there.
Yeah. What it's seeming is for the linebackers or like even for the defensive players, we all know that the edge rushers are, I mean, they have the biggest impact of the game right now.
Sure.
That in the cornerback position. So, I mean, a first-round edge rusher is a first-round edge rusher, but with the way the linebacker position is being treated, you can almost treat like a second-round linebacker as having that first-round draft capital, or a third-round linebacker having second-round capital. So you almost think of it as a round ahead, around ahead, just with the way these linebackers kind of come in, they develop, and then you see them playing. Like, look at Jack Campbell. I mean, we all kind of thought he was going to be that first round every down guy, and it hasn't happened. Is it going to happen this year? Potentially, but it's just kind of the nature of the position right now.
Yeah, it's just such like a difficult position to play. I think, like, as far as everything that they ask linebackers to do, like,
oh yeah,
it's got to be one of the hardest positions in the NFL to play right now, at least on defense, right? Like, I mean, corner, I'll stand by, like, that has got to be the hardest position for sure. Like, there, you could forget about trying to cover NFL wide receivers, like playing man-to-man. But for linebackers too, like, everything that they have to do, you know, getting the defense lined up, reading run plays, playing coverage, like, occasionally blitzing as well. Like, there's a lot that goes into being a linebacker in the NFL, and it's why, like, you see so many of these guys just not pan out, and the NFL does not have a good hit rate as far as being able to predict who's going to be a good player and who isn't. So, you know, even when you see guys that get first round draft capital, they're not a guarantee to hit either. So, it's definitely too early to you know, put Jack Campbell in that bucket, but there's definitely been plenty of guys in the past, right? So,
I mean, they're essentially the quarterback of the defense are the ones.
Yeah.
They're the ones being tabbed to call the plays and get everybody in order and get everybody in position and pre-snap. Okay, pre-snap, we do this. Post-snap, we do this. And then they have to be in control. Then they have to do their assignments, and then they're in charge of everybody else's assignments. So you have to be smart. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you don't get it right away and as a rookie, you know, that's why sometimes they don't play right away.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes a long time. Like, I think, you know, we see a lot of these linebackers playing late, like 29, 30, they're playing the best football of their careers because they finally have enough experience in the NFL to actually be able to be reliable in the defense and be able to stick in there. So it's a difficult position, but we love evaluating it for IDP purposes. We obviously love these guys when they hit, and we love having them on our roster. So that's why we love to talk linebackers. So we'll talk another linebacker here for a second. And that is one of my guys here, and it is Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. So Trevin Wallace, we talked about him in the preview episode as well, and I originally wasn't even going to be on our list to talk about, and Kyle brought him up, so he could be a Kyle guy as well, but like this I really liked him watching him. Like, this is purely one of those ones that, you know, I'm kind of looking at as I can see the potential in him pick for like one of my guys here, and I feel like that with Wallace more than any other linebacker right now who isn't quite there yet, right? That is still like a far work in progress. And, you know, he obviously had the nice combine. He's one of the big risers from there. He ran a 4.51 40 at 240 pounds and had the big broad jump as well, 127 inch broad jump, 92nd percentile, all that stuff, right? Like, the athleticism is definitely going to be an asset for him. You know, watching him on the field though, like, he's able to put that into gear and he does a really nice job utilizing that athleticism. And, you know, we talked about it before as well, but like, he's just so good at getting around blockers with that speed and that quickness. And he does a good job of putting himself in position to make a play that, you know, is going to lead to production. And, you know, there's definitely times where him and even Cedric Gray, like, I found a lot of similarities between him, Cedric Gray, in that they have these really great reads at times and it leads to some big blow up plays, and then they have the same kind of read, but it's like way out of position and it just turns out to be the wrong read. And like, that's why I comped him to kind of like a Devin White almost in how he plays, in that aggressive play style, and that, you know, sometimes he's right and it leads to a highlight play, and sometimes he's wrong. So there's a lot to kind of coach out for him. But again, I described him on the episode as like a moldable piece of clay that I think is, you know, worth investing in just based on all of the traits and the potential for him. So I came away really liking Trevon Wallace, and I'm excited to see what happens with him in the draft.
Yeah, very athletic, very, very speedy. I think I had him as my another kind of spoiler. I'll have him probably as my LB6 in this class.
Oh, that's where I got him. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Yeah, like he was, I think, like 15 on the PFF big board, right? So that's why, like, it's one of those ones where I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? I actually could see him being a bigger impact guy kind of down the road. Probably not year one. Like, I'd be surprised if it was right away, because I do think that there's, you know, some work to be done there. But I mean, a lot of linebackers, like we said, they're not perfect coming into the NFL and they need work. Yep. So, yeah, willing to bet on a Trevon Wallace there. All right, let's keep it rolling here. But first, I do want to give a quick shout out to our presenting sponsor, Fabric by Gerber Life. If you have a family, then you need to get term life insurance to protect them. It's one of the smartest financial decisions you can make. At the start of the new year is the perfect time to get it done, so you can focus on whatever else the year has in store for you. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/fantasy. That's meetfabric.com/fantasy. meetfabric.com/fantasy. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Insurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, next up, we got another one of your guys, Mike. We'll move away from the linebackers here just for a second. We'll come back to them for sure. But let's go to the edge position. Who did you have as one of your guys at edge?
Muhammad Kamara, Colorado State. Seemed like I like these undersized guys. So, I mean, whatever. I mean,
There's a trend.
I like these undersized guys. So, you know, I've got that working for me. But I think with Muhammad Kamara and probably your next guy, I've got, they're interchangeable, but I think I'm kind of leaning toward Kamara.
Sure.
Although he's going to rank very close, and I think he's going to be very close to Braylon Trice. And I know, not to give anything away, but that's kind of where I looked at him. But he, you know, I think Kamara was slightly more productive in 89 fewer pass rush snaps, had a higher rate of pressure with 18.7, very productive when it came to sacks. I know Braylon Trice had a higher win rate, but I mean, Kamara was right there at 31%. Mm-hmm. Although, like I said, he's a bit undersized. He's explosive. He has a good kind of good center of gravity that you like to see. And he's got a plan to get to the quarterback. He just doesn't like wing it and just go. It seems like he has a plan of attack to get to the quarterback. Gets good leverage, plays through the whistle. So he's not going to give up. He's not just going to coast. And he does have a stout frame for being kind of an undersized guy. He's pretty stout, sets the edge well against the run. I mean, although it is the size, I think he'll need some development. But when it comes to his techniques, kind of his move set and his production, for me, that's kind of hard to ignore. And I'm going to gamble on that upside.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I pretty much have the exact same notes for Kamara. Like I have him as edge 8. Like he's in that top 10 for me out of Colorado State here. Yes, 5 seasons with Colorado State, right? But he gradually increased his overall pass rush grade, right? And that was nice to see that development. And 91.2 in 2023, which is a really nice number. He had 64 pressures, 14 sacks in that span. Like you said, like it's maybe not necessarily like a lot of clean wins on tape, but his ability to kind of fight through contact and not lose momentum just kind of leads to more overall wins. So that was a nice positive thing to see for me as well, especially like a guy who isn't necessarily big for his position. Like you said, like he does a nice job using some physicality and some strength to get his wins. And I thought that was nice. And he did score well as a pass rusher because of that. But run defense marks, those were obviously well below average. Like he had a 69.9 nice career run defense grade, 27th percentile for prospects since 2016. So that's mostly where I think the size concerns kind of come in for him. He's, I think, 6'1", 248. So,
yep.
You know, he does have good speed and pass rushing ability, but he feels like without more size and without more refinement as a run defender, could potentially be more of a rotational piece in the NFL. That was my biggest concern. Yep. For him anyways.
Yep.
But yeah, you mentioned Braylon Trice. That is my next guy on the list here, because yeah, I really do like Braylon Trice. The way I described him on the episode with Joey was he was a wrecking ball of a bull in a china shop as far as his pass rushing style, and he just does it so well. Like he really is super physical, very violent hands. You know, back to back seasons with at least a 90 pass rush grade as well. He had a 91.5 in 2022 with 68 pressures and 8 sacks, then a 90.8 in 2023 with 66 pressures and 6 sacks. But he also had 32 QB hits over those past 2 years as well, which is a nice number. Consistently improved his run defense grade. He wasn't like amazing in there by any means. He had some missed tackles as well, for sure, right? Like that's, you know, a number that I think that was a need to clean up for him. 29 missed tackles over the past 2 years as a starter. Yep. But you know, overall, like physicality, I just loved. I love that helped him win so often as a pass rusher. And I think that, you know, translates to him as a run defender as well, something that I think can become, you know, an asset for him in the NFL. So I really like the playing style. I like the pass rush grades, 94th percentile in career pass rush grade, 90th percentile in career win rate, 87th percentile in career pressure rate, 80th percentile in quick pressure rate. So really encouraging numbers, I think, for somebody like Braylon Trice. Like he's another one that, you know, he's a massive guy. Like I can't remember what his exact size was. I could pull it up here, but I think he was like 6'4", 267. Ah, God, I wish I had it here, but he's one of the bigger pass rushers. But
6'4", 273,
right? Like he's a big dude, and I just think that NFL teams are going to really like that. Like I'm not concerned about, you know, tackle production or anything like that. Missed nope. tackles, those are they're normal for college edge defenders, especially, right? Especially big aggressive ones and ones that are quick as well. Like he's surprisingly quick for his size, and they get aggressive, and that's what leads to kind of this boom bust level of production on the run defense side of things. So yeah, really liked Braylon Trice. Yeah, what did you think about
him? Yeah, I think like Kamara, I think he had a similar run defense grade. So I think the run defense, if he can develop like that, a run, you know, run defense, like with Kamara, I think they can be, you know, close to full-time players. What I liked about Trice though is, you know, he got bottled up pretty good against Michigan. I think he only had maybe one or two total pressures the entire game. I think that Michigan offensive line did a pretty good number on him, but he still showed up big in the championship game against Oregon and Texas. I think he had 2 sacks against Texas, and then I think he had a just over a 15% pressure rate against Oregon and Texas. So he did show up in some of the bigger games. Michigan just seemed to have his number, but yeah, Trice, you know, again, showed up big, good production and a pretty good conference.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like him. I think he'll get drafted relatively high. I think probably round 2 is where I'm kind of thinking he'll go, at the very least round 3. But yeah, I definitely think there's potential there as somebody that can develop into a full-time player in the NFL at some point. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. But let's go back.
If your edge rusher can hit 60 to 70% of the snaps, that's a pretty good usage when you're talking about an edge rusher, defensive lineman.
Absolutely. Yep. But yeah, let's go back to the linebackers here, Mike, and we'll talk about the next guy on the list. And this is a name that we have not covered yet in any of the preview episodes, but tell us about Jalen Ford out of Texas.
Yeah. Jalen Ford, another linebacker with elite production in a in a competitive conference, the Big 12. He had two seasons as a full-time linebacker. He had over 1,500 snaps, 220 tackles, and a 14.7% tackle rate. Basically, like Josh said on my IDP show appearance, he's like, basically what Mike does, he takes all the linebackers, sorts by the tackle rate, boom, highest to lowest, and sorts by tackle rate. That's basically what I look at. But he has all those intangibles. He's that on-field general. He communicates really well pre-snap, seems to be smart, really good downhill speed. And again, really good in zone coverage. Probably one of the better linebackers in zone coverage in the draft. 4 forced fumbles. So he's quick with his hands and is going to force the fumbles. And you know what? He knows how to time the pursuit and he catches the blockers off guard. By the time a blocker is ready to go, he's gone and he's making a play. So he has really good athleticism for his size, but doesn't have the speed, but takes really good routes to the ball, really good range. Again, kind of like some of these younger linebackers, he can get caught out of position. But I think that's something that can be coached up. But I think overall, I think his abilities are going to get him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that call. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't just use tackle efficiency as the reason. I know they were only joking because, yeah, we know it's not stable from college to the pros, right?
No, so, no.
Yeah, but he, you know what? To his credit, like he did do a nice job. He's another one of those guys that did a nice job as far as first contact rate, 10.6%. That on over 2,000 defensive snaps, that's an above average number for this class. The run stop rate, which is stable, really strong, 11.5% for his career. My biggest worry, I did kind of come through like for him, like watching his tape a bit more. I worry like just overall play strength for him. Like, I think that could be one of the huge difference makers for him in the NFL. Like watching him tackle, like he does, he makes tackles, but he's kind of like, it's hard to explain. Like, it's hard to explain to it. Like that a guy is, you know, he has a good tackle rate, but he's like a soft tackler. Right. And he kind of like barely gets away with it in college, but I just feel like it could be more of an issue in the NFL. Like he takes a long time to take ball carriers down, if that makes sense. Like even quarterbacks, a lot of the time these guys fall forward on him instead of him pushing them back, like things like that that I kind of noticed. Like he's often getting help from his teammates and bringing guys down and things like that, or running backs that are off balance. So I don't know, probably a weird thing to note, but like it was just something that's kind of stood out to me, like watching his whole season there. And I didn't like him in coverage as much as you, I guess. Like, I just think he did look lost at time. Like, he gives up so much space and like recognizing players coming into his zone. Like, that was a problem that I noted. Like, he gave up 381 yards in 2023. That was eighth most in the FBS among linebackers. But it honestly probably could have been a lot worse because he was bailed out by some incompletions in there. Even teammates, you know, coming up with an interception on one or two as well, where he was just like, he was the primary coverage guy and he's letting guys get way behind him. So that was my big concern for him. But I'm with you. Like, he does look the part. Like, he does a nice job. You could tell, like, setting up that defense and everything and being that guy in the middle there. But I mostly want to see the you know, play strength kind of come up a bit, because coverage stuff, that again, linebackers struggle with coverage. That's not a common thing, but I think that could be coached up as well. All right, let's go to another guy here. So this is our one and only defensive back on the list here. He made my guy's list. And it is Cole Bishop out of Utah. So not only do I feel like I have to make up for not including Bishop in our DB preview episode last week and talking about Sione Vaki, who Glosser and I both hated, as it turns out, but I do like Bishop a lot more. But he spent nearly half of his defensive snaps either in the box or on the defensive line. So he's obviously not afraid to get into those, you know, nitty gritty areas of the field. And his coaches felt comfortable in deploying him there, despite not necessarily having like the thickness of a Sione Vaki either. So I thought that was kind of promising for him. He probably won't get that level of alignment in the NFL, but you know, when he does get those opportunities, I think that he should at least be able to produce. So he was one of the most effective tacklers in this year's class. And that comes up with that, those ideal alignments. That's not a coincidence. Right. And, you know, he also had the best first contact rate in this class, or second best, sorry, at 8.8% at a first contact rate. So showing off that ability to get in the right position, make a positive read on the play, and then get those tackles, which we're going to love for IDP purposes. 6.6% run stop rate was also the second best in this class. Also a more stable metric than like tackle efficiency for those keeping score at home, but like not, you know, he wasn't amazing in coverage or anything like that, 72.0, but I think he does have some positive tools to work with there because he has good speed and good range. He could cover ground quickly, does a really nice job reading the play, recognizing where to be both pre and post snap. So I'd love to see him in a single high system where he can be the guy to rotate down and break on plays underneath and support the run, because I think he does that really well. And for me, again, you know, we didn't talk about him in the DB preview episode, but we'll definitely cover him post-draft. But he's going to be probably safety 2 or 3 range for me in this class, like behind Jaden Hicks. We know I love Jaden Hicks from that episode, and maybe Tyler Newbin, but I'm starting to like Bishop quite a bit, so we'll let landing spot kind of sort this out post-draft, but he's going to be higher up in the ranks for me for sure.
Honestly, he didn't even make my ranks when I wrote up.
Yeah, he's a fun
IDP show. So I don't know. Maybe it's going to be one of those ones where it kind of bites me in the face, but I don't know. He didn't make my write-up. I think it was the fact that it was his alignment where he's playing up in the box, and it's like, you know, okay, 60 tackles. Okay.
It's 11% career tackle efficiency. Yeah, for him. It's still like, that's high for a safety.
Yeah, no. And it is, but I have a feeling that one's probably going to bite me, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah, he did not crack my write up at all. So
that's fair. Yeah. Hey, that's why he's one of
the DB position,
not one of your guys.
It's the DB position.
It's a very messy position to kind of sort out, right? Because they're, again, like especially safety, not a guarantee to start right away in the NFL, and landing spot, scheme, all those kind of things are going to play so much a part into how these guys produce in the NFL. So he is one that I came away liking quite a bit, but I know that he's not going to be on everybody's list. That's for sure. All right, let's move into our sleepers here. These are our kind of off the radar guys that, again, we're going to be hoping for some good landing spots in the draft, or maybe guys that we think that, you know, have the potential to emerge as starters, or at least, you know, IDP relevant down the road here, Mike. So let's start with one of your first sleepers out of the edge class. Who do you have?
Could be one of those small school sleepers, Jalen Green from James Madison. And again, falls into undersized, right? The guys I like falls right into that undersized trend for whatever reason.
I'm liking these undersized guys.
And it might have just been the fact that, you know, the competition wasn't as great, but I mean, he was probably the most productive edge rusher last year. After recording 2.5 sacks in 2022, exploded for 17.5, despite missing 4 games, and led the FBS in sacks. Had an 18.8% pressure rate, a 28% win rate. A season-ending injury in November, caused him to miss all the pre-draft events. Stock kind of fell, but you know, you can't. That production was really hard to ignore. Before the injury, really good bend, variety of moves, I think would have made him a lock to be drafted this year. I still think he could be drafted, but definitely before the injury, he definitely probably would have gotten that combine invite, would have been able to do his pro day, do all the necessary, you know, do all the necessary tests and drills. Sneaky speed to power, finishes his sacks, disengages his blocks well to make plays against the run. Really, you know, he's got that motor that everybody likes, and will show up in the clutch. His size is definitely going to be a knock, can be a little bit over aggressive. And again, that season ending injury didn't help matters, but I think overall he could be one of those draft steals for the NFL. And is definitely an IDP on who, you know, that should be on your radar. He's one of those guys. He sees the QB, goes after the QB. Probably not a guy you're going to end up draft. Cause I mean, if you're in a 5 or 6 round rookie draft mm-hmm. with offense and IDP, he's probably going to go undrafted, but right. I still think he's definitely going to be somebody you want to have on your radar and may want to be ahead of, as opposed to reacting and trying to scramble and try to get him from the wire. And it costs you a waiver wire position or fab dollars.
Nice. Yeah, he was interesting. I did end up watching him today. I hadn't watched him just yet, but like you said, like the 18 sacks, 17 and a half sacks in 2023, obviously an impressive number there. 84.2 career pass rush grade. So that's 56th percentile for prospects since 2016. 15.4% pressure rate was really good. 74th percentile for his career. So I think that like, it just speaks to his motor. Like for me, like watching him, this mm-hmm. was very much like a high effort guy. Like he's not necessarily yes. someone with, you know, a refined pass rush repertoire or anything like that. Like you're looking at a lot more second effort plays, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Like he shows some decent counters in there and that helps him get there. But I just noticed he's a lot more of just kind of this high effort kind of you know, high motor type guy. So but yeah, like run defense, you know, pedestrian run defense grade. Like this is what we're getting from these guys. 75.0, 39th percentile among prospects since 2016. But I liked aspects of his game, like that effort, that motor, the 18 sacks, you know, probably a bit of an inflated number, you know, watching him. Like oh, yeah. some of these quarterbacks, like they just suck, yeah. right? Like they're holding the ball way too long. But like that being said, like there's definitely room for these types of guys in the NFL that can, you know, get themselves into the good graces of NFL coaches and work his way onto the field. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if his name popped up as a potential waiver wire target, you know, in season early in his career. He could be a fun player for sure. So I like that.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. One of my sleeper guys here at the edge position, I went with Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA. So Gabriel Murphy enters this draft along with his twin brother, Grayson Murphy. But both these guys really, I should say, boast like a pretty impressive profile, I think, here. But Gabriel specifically, I think, is the one kind of worth taking a shot on. I'll tell you what the tiebreaker was for me in a second. But like he might not get drafted until day three, but his numbers are really impressive. Delivered a mm-hmm. career high 92.1, career 92.1 pass rush grade. That's 93rd percentile with a really respectable 80.4 run defense grade. That's 74th percentile. So he, you know, kind of makes his case a little bit there as a future three down player in the NFL. He does a lot of things well. And you see at UCLA specifically, like, I think they recognized that in how they deployed him. They lined him up in the A and B gaps to take mm-hmm. advantage of guards, which he did with ease. Like he was a weapon around the edge as well. You know, obviously the strong overall pass rush grade is going to explain a lot of that, but just watching him, I just felt more optimistic about him than I thought I would based on where I see him ranked in a lot of the like pre-draft rankings. So he has good size and athleticism. He had a 9.24 relative athletic score for people who care about that. But you know, biggest difference for him between him and his brother was just the run defense. Like Gabriel was a much better asset against the run. Just a 71.9 career run defense grade for Grayson, which was 35th percentile since 2016. But both guys are really fun. And, you know, Gabe Murphy specifically, just a personal favorite to watch in this draft. I think he's somebody to kind of keep an eye on if he does get advantageous landing spot for IDP relevance. So, yeah, liked him quite a bit.
Yeah, I didn't have him in my top 10, but he did make my, like, should be on your radar for sure. Mm-hmm. I did kind of have a comparison. I think the Gabe Murphy Laiatu combo kind of reminded me of Miami's duo of Russo and Phillips, just two guys that can get to the quarterback. I think if I remember, I think Phillips was a little bit more highly regarded than mm-hmm. Russo, but both really good talented edge rushers coming out of school and really good teammates. So mm-hmm. that combo kind of reminded me of those two from from Miami. But yeah, I liked what I saw Murphy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fun. Like I had a tweet as well, like him and his brother, like their metrics are like almost identical as well. Like outside of that run defense, like it's pretty stupid. Like between the two of them. So I pulled it up here, like pass rush grade for their career, 92.2 for Grayson, 92.1 for Gabriel. So literally a 0.1 difference there. Their win rate, both in the 17%. It's 17.8 for one of them, 17.3 for the other. Total pressures, 172 and 165. Quick pressures, 124 and 124. The exact same amount of quick pressures. QB hits, 38 for Grayson, 34 for Gabriel. Like everything between these two guys yeah. is just insane. Like it's crazy how like close they actually really were. I mean, it makes sense. They're twins, but to just see that translate to a football field and how close together they actually ranked is, it was pretty wild to see. So to see these guys in the NFL, and hopefully they would be cool if they continue to land on the same team. They started at North Texas together and transferred to UCLA together, so they can be like the Sedin twins in the NHL. Maybe they can be that in the NFL. Who knows? All right, let's talk about more linebackers, because why not, Mike? Who do you have as your next sleeper linebacker out of Washington?
So he caught my eye kind of late in my I guess you could say kind of like my analysis, but Edifuan Ulofosio.
Yeah, there's a reason I let
picking you guys that it. Why yeah that I that I'm going to have a lot of fun writing up, and I do thank Vita Vea for shortening his name. Oh, because if you go into his Pro Football Ref and take a look at his name, it's like, okay, well, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. But yeah, Ulofosio, a bit of a late bloomer, had a really strong senior year, and really was one of those key pieces in that defense on their title run. Again, if you like the RAS scores, those relative athletic scores, he had a 9.55, he had a 4.58 40, a 39.5-foot vertical. So you know, if you like those RAS scores, if you like those measurements. Again, 9.55 RAS score, so something to keep an eye on there. But yeah, recorded 17 total tackles and 2 sacks in the postseason. Hit an 18.9% tackle rate in 2023. Again, battled through adversity. He had a torn biceps and torn ACL in 21-22, so that kind of extended his eligibility. So he's probably a little bit older than most of the prospects, but that, you know, I think that's going to start happening now. You're not going to see, you're going to see a little bit more 22, 23, 24 year olds with the transfer portal and everybody going to different schools. So I think that's going to start becoming a trend. So I'm not really concerned about the age. Has that experience. He's battle tested. He sees things quickly and doesn't really get too fool too much pre-snap. Again, love the 40 yard and his 10 yard splits. Really good instincts in the run, good calculated moves, no wasted movements. Some of his weakness, you know, he's not as good of a straight line linebacker. Sometimes takes bad angles, but you know, sometimes, you know, he got to, you know, it's like, okay, point A, point B, the shortest distance from point A to point B, take a straight line. You see the ball, you don't need to just go for it. So I think he's probably going to be he could probably be like a day three pick. But I think he has kind of those traits and intangibles of an old school linebacker and definitely plays above his measurements. So definitely a sleeper. And again, one of those guys you're not necessarily going to draft, but someone again, happens on your to any of your squad, pick him up, put him on a taxi squad. It's not, I don't think he's going to cost you anything, but definitely a name you're going to want to keep an eye on and in the back of your head.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And yeah, I like that you kept with your trend here of smaller players for their position as well.
Right? Oh, we're getting smaller. Don't worry.
We are definitely getting smaller. It caps off at the smallest, but like you mentioned, like the athleticism and the traits, I think do make him this kind of enticing prospect who I think, you know, I think he might earn higher draft capital than initially expected after like a pretty good combine here. Like I think that athleticism does show up on the field quite a bit, you know, breaking on the ball. He's got great closing speed and range. He moves very fluidly, which is nice to see for a guy coming off an ACL as well, right? Like you mentioned. So, you know, there's times, sure, where he looks lost in coverage, lets the play get behind him well before he recognizes it. But, you know, he actually had a good coverage grade last year, 88.0. But I do think, you know, he's far from perfect and you know, great help was helped a lot by some splash plays. But I liked him as well. I think I have him as LB8. So, you know, he's an interesting
in your top 10 when I kind of took a look at your rankings.
So he's in there for me, and I'm kind of with you. Like, I think that there's a chance that the NFL likes him more than people expect, and then, you know, we could see this guy play a part here down the road. So Edifuan Ulofosio. Yeah, there you go. Google that. I think is somebody definitely worth keeping an eye on here. I like that call. All right, let's talk about another one of the linebackers. So this is one for me. Jordan McGee out of Temple is one of my sleepers here. And another guy that not getting talked about a lot. We didn't talk about him in the linebacker preview episode. I did rank him in my linebacker article when I put that out. I put him as LB7 because I put Jordan McGee's tape on only because, like, he performed really well in our stable metrics over the past 2 years. And at first, I was kind of hesitant to embrace him too much because, you know, it's in the group of five. He's out of Temple there. He wasn't, like, highly ranked on the big board. I think he was 18th at the time. But again, like, he had really nice numbers there. He had 10.8% forced incompletion rate. That's fifth best in this class. 83.6 run defense grade. That's third best in this class. 10.1% run stop grade. That was seventh in this class. So I put the tape on to see, you know, if he'd be worth considering after Kyle and I had done the linebacker preview episode. And I just loved his game so much more than I thought I would. Like, he plays fast. He plays aggressive. And he does such a great job making reads on plays and just remaining confident in those reads without giving up a lot in the negatives as a run defender. He has excellent range. He moves in a hurry to get to ball carriers. 11.3% first contact rate for his career is fourth best in this entire class. You know, we kind of have a type here with these guys that like to get to the ball in a hurry with between, you know, Cedric Gray, Ulofosio, and now, you know, Jordan McGee. But he can lay the boom as well, which you like to see from an undersized guy. He has some missed tackle issues for sure. 16.5% for his career, which comes from being on the smaller side and that shorter wingspan that keeps him from wrapping up. But there's just so much more to like about his game when translating to the NFL. He's another one of those guys that scored well in the relative athletic score that definitely shows up on tape, 9.32 there, in just, you know, how fast and fluid of a mover he is. He's a wicked blitzer as well. 37 pressures, 11 sacks over the past two seasons, 90.7 pass rush grade in 2023. He was very similar to Edgerrin Cooper to me in kind of how Temple used him and how Texas A&M used Cooper, like using him around the line of scrimmage in that QB spiral, getting him to blitz and chase down the quarterback. I think he did that really well. And I think, you know, if you're an NFL team that really likes Edgerrin Cooper but miss on him, then grabbing a Jordan McGee a bit later in the draft is kind of a nice consolation prize. So, yeah, like I said, LB7 for me pre-draft. I will be very interested to see where he lands next week. All right, you want to talk about your next guy up here, Mike, at the linebacker position. Another linebacker, like we said, that one of the short kings of this year's class, and one that I had not watched yet. I didn't even know who this was, so I'm excited to hear you talk about Trevor Williams out of Sam Houston State.
So I mentioned his name on the IDP show. I didn't go into it. I brought him up as someone who could be this year's Ivan Pace. So that, you know, we looked him up and we all got a good laugh because he's like, he think he's listed as 5'9". I've seen 5'10". So, they're like, yeah, if you want Darren Sproles as your linebacker, this is the guy you want. So we all had a good laugh, but I looked at him a little further. Yeah, he's about an inch shorter than Ivan Pace. Ivan Pace is 5'10", about 230. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, Williams is about 5'9". You know, he might need some lifts, but he's about 5'9", 210. So he could play linebacker, probably play safety. I mean, he has a build of a football, but definitely slight. And he'll need to add some muscle. But he had three games of fewer than 10 tackles. He led the FBS, led 85 solo tackles, had 135 total, 17.2% tackle rate. He was a four-time captain, definitely has that leadership ability. And just looking into him a little bit more, I mean, he can play football. There's no doubt he can play football. He can break off contact. He diagnoses quickly. He does get caught in traffic a little bit just because that's just the nature of that. That just be expected of his size. But he's got a good change of direction, especially when he's when he reacts to a quarterback scrambling. Agile, gets under the blocks, utilized pretty well as a blitzer. He had a 54.7% pressure rate. Had a 54.7% pressure rate. Disguises his blitz pretty well too. So again, you're not drafting him, and if you do, then kudos to you. My hat's off to you for having for having some stones to draft him, but. Like I said, I think he could be kind of this year's Ivan Pace, and you know we've declared Ivan Pace in the Hall of Fame already. So,
yes.
But I looked into him a little bit more, and I'm definitely more confident in that comparison.
Yeah, and look, I like the comparison too because you went from a Bearcats team to another Bearcats team, right? In Sam Houston State Bearcats with a K and Cincinnati's Bearcats with a C in Ivan Pace, as well as the Short King comparison. So I appreciate it, Mike. But I fully understand why you included Trevor Williams here. Again, I'd never heard
sleepers.
Of, yeah, it's the guys, but he's absolute tackling machine. I watched his tape today. 2023 alone, he had an 18.2% tackle rate, 14.3% for his career. So, you know, nice numbers there. And I know it's Sam Houston State and it's in the group of five, which, you know, it makes it, that's what makes him a sleeper, right? He did perform really well there across those past four seasons, never lower than a 74 overall grade, which was his sophomore season. His freshman season, he just played 65 snaps, so we're not counting that. But career high, 81.3 overall grade in 2023, a 90.4 coverage grade, added 23 pressures, 5 sacks, like you said. He kind of did it all there. So, you know, even though he's definitely like this Short King type, 5'9", he looks the part because he's thick and he plays physical and he throws his body around like he's much bigger than he is. So, you know, hopefully he lands on a team that, you know, plays in a dome so he can avoid, you know, any large predatory birds soaring overhead that might try and swoop down and snatch him away. But, you know, main thing I think for him,
got to watch out for those birds of prey, man. Those
gotta
hawks,
you got to watch the birds, man. The big
hawks
birds,
those hawks will get you.
Big birds are coming for those short guys, man. It's, but like again, ton of experience there as a starter. Even though he missed time in 2022, I'm not sure if it was an injury or what happened there, but. Decent body of work, good sample size. You know, if tackle efficiency was stable from college to the pros, I'd be even more excited. But there's a chance that, you know, a team, you know, likes him and gets him on the field. But again, that the size is going to be the big concern. I think that's something to kind of watch for, but we'll see here. I like the call. He was a fun watch today.
Yep.
All right, let's go on to our final name on the list here. Last sleeper for me, and it was... Edge Javon Solomon out of Troy. So probably a name that I think even surprised myself when I went to watch him because, you know, seeing again, he's another one that comes in undersized, right? And another one of those group of five guys that, you know, I think I kind of delayed watching him, even though he showed out really relatively well within my model. But once I put the tape on, I was blown away with how impressive of an athlete he is, like at his size. I started watching all of his run defense snaps because I expected to get a lot more bad in there and wanted to kind of get that out of the way first, but it wasn't bad at all. Like the way that Troy deployed him, he was a hand in the dirt, 3-4 defensive end, lining heads up with offensive tackles and winning on a consistent basis there as well. Like there were even instances where he's taken on double teams. He's fighting through to make plays in the backfield or at the very least disrupt the running back's path. He was just so physically more impressive than I expected at his size. Like even at, you know, he's not even 6'1". He's below 250 pounds. I think it's 246 he's listed at, but he's got decent arm length for that size. His hands are massive and he's just way stronger than you'd expect. So there's definitely times where, you know, he'll get locked up and moved by offensive tackles, but it was way less than I expected. And if he can add some weight for the NFL, I could see him being like a really effective defensive lineman at the next level. Mm-hmm. And as a pass rusher, which is going to be the most important, like he's explosive off the line, has a great first step. He can win with speed around the edge. He's got good hands as well. Really nice technique kind of overall, but he can win with power as well, which again, for a smaller guy, you just love to see. He has a great motor chasing down scrambling quarterbacks, great effort all around. 81.5 pass rush grade in 2022. He improved that to 88.4 in 2023, leading to 91.6 career pass rush grade, which is 89th percentile among prospects since 2016. 43 pressures and 15 sacks this past season, and actually set the school record for most career sacks at Troy, over the likes of DeMarcus Ware and OC Umanura. So I thought that was interesting, but I didn't include him in my pre-draft top 10 edges, which is out now on pff.com, but I'm kind of wishing I did because I really like Solomon. But I think sleeper is probably a good place to have him realistically as like a guy that's probably going to be a potential day three pick here.
Yep.
But that is pretty much it, Mike. I think we've got everybody covered here off of our list. My guys, sleepers, all of it. We covered all across all positions. We only had the one DB in there, but let's be honest, we don't care as much for defensive backs for IDP. They can be fun and stuff, but they're also a very deep group. We could have named 100 names there. So yeah. That is going to wrap up today's episode. So again, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for watching. If you are watching on YouTube, please feel free to like and subscribe. We do really appreciate that as well. But most of all, a big thank you to the great Mike Wohlert. Mike, I appreciate you coming on here, sharing your thoughts on this rookie class. It's always a pleasure, my friend. So really do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me on, man. Definitely always enjoy talking defensive players with you guys. And this ended up being a draft class that I think I liked a little bit more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. At the outset, I was like, okay. But as I watched more and more, it's like, okay, this isn't too bad of a class. So something tells me we won't see these linebackers go in day one. I think you're going to see a lot of them go day two, day three. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to be a little bit patient on that. You're going to see a lot of the edge rushers and a lot of those corners get a lot of the day one love. So I think we're going to have to probably wait on some of these guys, but that's kind of been the way that things have gone over the last couple of years. But I hope everybody enjoys the draft.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I'm with you. It's a fun and interesting class. It always is in its own different way, right? But yeah, there's definitely plenty of guys to like here as well. But before you do go, Mike, please remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work as well.
Yep. I'm now over at theidpshow.com. Linebacker rankings will be dropping on Monday, just ahead of the draft. We made the linebackers third for a reason, save the best for last. So linebackers will be dropping on Monday. And then on May 1st, we'll be dropping our IDP show draft kit. So I will be having my projections, customizable projections. So I'll have mine based on that big three scoring, but they'll be available for customization for your league settings. So have my projections and rankings and just be whittling right away all off season.
Beautiful. Love to see it. Yeah, definitely go check out Mike's work and everybody over at theidpshow.com as always. As for me, everybody knows my work's on pff.com here. We got the edge rankings, linebacker rankings, bunch of other information and data on this year's rookie class as well, from quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, linebackers, edges, safeties, all of them. They're up there on pff.com. You can check all that out now for free. And then, yeah, as far as this podcast goes, you can also check out the quarterback, running back, wide receiver previews that Kate and I have done, linebacker, DB, and D-line previews that myself, Kyle Bellefield, Joey the Tooth, and John Glosser have done as well. But again, thank you all very much for tuning in. And until next time, enjoy the draft and peace.